Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Radio Public Affairs program, Like It Is. Today's topic is empathy, which is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. There are three types of empathy: cognitive, emotional, and compassionate. Denny Luna features Dr. Judith Orloff, author of The Genius of Empathy. Here's Denny.
Thank you, Bob. Not long ago, I had a chance to help co-host a presentation by Dr. Judith Orloff at East West Books in Seattle. Dr. Orloff is a New York Times bestselling author. She's a physician, a psychiatrist, and a highly intuitive empath. Her latest book is called The Genius of Empathy. And she thinks of empathy as a gift that all of us have, kind of this untapped superpower. So on this edition of Like It Is, we're going to hear highlights of that East-West presentation. Dr. Orloff begins with a few brief words from the Dalai Lama, who has written an introduction to the book, before she gives us all those precious tips on how we can all incorporate the gift of empathy for others and for ourselves. Dr. Judith Orloff.
Empathy is one of the most wondrous human qualities. When we are deeply aware of the fundamental truth of our human existence, that all of us wish to achieve happiness and overcome suffering, we feel empathy and closeness to them. Previously, it was thought that even positive emotions like empathy just arose spontaneously in response to how others were feeling. Now there is a greater appreciation that such social and emotional skills can be taught and learned. I believe the individual has a huge power to heal themselves and to begin to change patterns so that you can help, your family, friends, coworkers. You could be with them in a different way than the typical way that humanity has been dealing with things. And so empathy gives you a chance to be extraordinary. And I'm presenting it in this book as a healing energy, a literal healing energy, which when you get in touch with it and you tap into empathy by simply having an empathic thought about yourself, if you do that right now, if you have an empathic thought about yourself, whatever it may be, you're doing a good job, it was a hard situation, whatever it may be, I'd like you to feel your chest and your heart and feel the heart opening as a result of the thought. And empathy is so powerful as a healing force because it opens your heart. All right, that's what it does. When you feel empathy for yourself, and God knows you need it, everybody, and you deserve it, everybody on this call, everybody in the world deserves it, to have a sweet, empathic thought about yourself. As you're the starting place. Now, you're the one where the world revolves around where your heart is, and your healing revolves around where your heart is. And so in the book, I make a distinction between the head and the heart, okay? You have the head and the mind, which is so brilliant and could come up with so many logical solutions to things. It's wonderful. It's just, I use my mind a lot, and I have, since my medical training. However, I realized that the mind, or the monkey mind, does not want to show empathy most of the time because it feels that there's no reason to show empathy if somebody hurt you, or if somebody did something that seems unforgiving, or if somebody betrays you. Why in the world would you want to try and find empathy for a part of them? All right. And it's not, I just want to make very clear, so nobody's confused about this, that I'm not saying have empathy for the horrible act. I'm not saying have empathy for abuse, or have empathy for betrayal, or have empathy for neglect, or have empathy for, narcissistic injury. I'm not saying that. I'm saying try to have some empathy for a part of the person that is wounded or has gone through a hard time or is just jaded and has gone on such a wrong path. You know, people who have turned to the path of violence and hurting other human beings. It's such a misguided path. So what you get from that personally is that you get to have empathy. Yeah, that's the main reward. But by having empathy, even for a little teensy bit of their being, it allows you to be not so triggered by it and so they can't pay rent in your mind and stay there. They leave. It somehow frees you from obsessing about them or thinking about how this is so unfair or, you know, thinking about revenge, whatever you obsess about. It allows you it to drift off so that you're freer and lighter. So you don't carry around all these resentments all of your life. So, you know, that's a really good thing to learn. And the mind doesn't want you to do it so much. It doesn't see why in the world you would do it. But, you know, we're in emergent times. This is an emergency now, what's happening in the world. This is a crisis. We're in the middle of a crisis with the way people are behaving towards each other. And so it's important to do what we can to shift things. And so when you begin to have empathy, you start with yourself, all right? Then you can expand it to other people. And then if you want to, you can send empathy out to the greater world through your heart and through meditation and prayer, you know, if you want to do that. But so many empaths have written me and they say, oh, the world situation is so terrible and I'm so depressed and I'm so exhausted. How do we handle all these things? You know, plus everything that's going on in a personal life and what's going on at work, you know, and what's going on with my family. How do we handle all this? And they become exhausted. And so it's important to develop a strategy with empathy in order to not take on the angst of the world, not take on the angst of your friend who's going through some difficulty, and to have a good one-step loving detachment away from somebody else, rather than as an empath, you might jump into somebody else's skin because you empathize. Empathy is the ability to attune to another person, what they're going through. And it's a great gift of connection. All right. But what you don't want to do is absorb what that person is going through. So you want to feel it, but you don't want to absorb it. So that takes a certain ability and practical skills, which I talk about in the book. And one principle I really stress is observe, don't absorb. As someone wrote me, I literally become the other person. Yes, indeed. I know that feeling. And you do it automatically. A lot of people just do it instinctively. If you're an empath, that's what you do. You become the other person. You absorb what's going on. And then you wonder why you did it. And then empathy gets a bad name. You know, empathy. There was an article written by a wonderful psychologist in the New York Times. It was about empathy, but how it's not really that great of a thing because it leads to compassion fatigue. And, you know, I was thinking to myself when I read this, sure, if you don't have any practical skills, if you don't gain any mastery over your energy and how to deal with this and how to observe, don't absorb, and how not to jump into somebody's skin, and, you know, how to keep a distance, how to set boundaries. And so people write these articles about empathy that are only half true. Yes, it can lead to compassion fatigue, but if you learn some of the skills and solutions and how to have empathy in a healthy way, then it's a whole different story. You know, so most people don't think about a skilled empath. You know, they don't think about somebody who really has mastered some skills. So they don't absorb and they're able to give. You know, the point is you want to give, but empathy isn't about giving 100% of the time. And I want to make this clear. It's a point in the book that I, you know, stress. People have an idea, and it's not true, that if you're empathic, you want to keep giving 100% of the time or 200% of the time. And if you do that, you'll never last. You know, empathy is giving when you can, hopefully giving when you're in a higher energy state. It sometimes does mean giving more than you've got if you're a caregiver. You know, that is true. But in most situations, you know, everyday situations such as, you know, the coworker who's draining your energy, you know, or the family member, you know, who is being difficult and you don't know how to deal with them, you know, those kinds of things, you don't have to give 100% of the time. You have to practice self-care when you're feeling overwhelmed and retreat. Retreat is such an important concept for empaths. It's this, and for those who are developing empathy who aren't necessarily empaths, not everyone has to be an empath to enjoy the healing benefits of empathy. And so you need to practice self-care, learn to set healthy boundaries, and we can talk about how to do that if you want, because that's a skill you can't avoid. You can't not learn that. If you don't learn that, it's going to be very painful being an empath. But learning how to set healthy boundaries and protect your energy is part of the giving. It's part of the self-care. So it goes hand in hand. I want to make that point to you. You know, it's not like here, over here, we set a boundary and over here, we show empathy. These are all a skill set for how to deal with people, basically, how to communicate. And how to feed your own energy, because empathy comes from your heart. When you feel empathy, you increase your heart energy. And when you increase your heart energy, the healing energy begins to flow in your chest. And it begins to flow down your arms, the subtle energy, the chi, the beautiful. You have an empathic thought, your heart opens. Energy begins to flow through your body and the oxytocin begins to flow, which is the love hormone. And you begin to feel warm and fuzzy and connected. And then you want to go out and give. And so that's basically how it works. With the mind has the thought, the heart opens, energy flows, and then you can go out and give from that place. So that's basically how it works. You want to open your heart with empathy because the heart is the healing energy. I'll keep repeating that.
I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. Today's featured guest is best-selling author, Dr. Judith Orloff.
The mind is not the healing energy. If you get stuck in your mind and you're thinking about all the things you did wrong, you know, and all how to solve a problem at work that is unsolvable at the moment, but you're pushing it, you know, that kind of thing. Empathy lets you take a pause, and empathy lets you talk to yourself in the middle of the night, say, hey, this is going nowhere. This is a dead end right now. What you can do, you know, is picture a beautiful kind of garden full of wildflowers. You know, you can picture the moon. You could picture happiness with a child. That's better. That's more productive than trying to solve that work problem. I mean, I have patients who try and solve, they're up at night, 3 to 6, you know, trying to solve problems that can't be solved in that way. No, you want to rest. And so you want to show yourself empathy. So the difference between the mind is good for solving logical problems, you know, very good, but it's not that great when it comes to empathy. So you want to shift out of the mind that says things are never going to get better. The mind is very catastrophic. You know, it makes up the worst case scenarios and gets you anxious about it. All right. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. That's what the mind does. Empathy lets you take a breath, soothe your heart, pause, begin to solve the problem from this point of view, the heart. It's a different solution than the head, oftentimes. Ideally, you want the head and the heart to work together, always. You know, I had the French edition of the Empath Survival Guide had this beautiful little illustration of the heart and the brain holding hands on the cover. I found that so amazing, so cute. And it was so true, you know, that people, you know, get on their high horses about how intellectual they are, you know, and how the heart is just, anything about the heart healing is anecdotal, you know, which is a kind of a put down word in science. Oh, it's just anecdotal. It's not a double blind study. Maybe not, you know, but I just want to say an answer to that is HeartMath Institute. I don't know if you're familiar with them. I just did a podcast with them. They are working on the science of the how empathy is healing and empathy and the heart are connected. So they're very worthwhile looking up. They're really a great organization.
You're listening to Like It Is and Dr. Judith Orloff.
And so empathy, this is a quote from the book. Empathy softens the struggle, quiets the unkind voices, and lets you befriend yourself again. And that's what you want to do. You want to befriend yourself again. That's showing empathy towards yourself. And I often get asked the difference between empathy and compassion. That's been a very common question on this book tour. Now I find it interesting that people are so involved with it and they actually get angry at each other because they, they feel strongly, you know, there's a difference. And there is. I mean, I'm laughing because it's, if you, either one is fine. If you could get to empathy, if you can get to compassion, if you can get to both, just be happy. Don't use it as an intellectual sparring point with other people. Just be happy you can get there. It's a blessing just to be able to get there for yourself. And I'm starting with you. The place to start with empathy is you. But empathy and compassion are related to each other, but they're different in subtle ways. Empathy is defined as the ability to attune to other people's emotions, a way of feeling with them. You vibe with them, you feel with them, you're on the resonance with them. Empathy is about first connecting to someone's emotions and perspective. For instance, when a friend gets fired, you feel their pain. However, with empathy, you need to learn how to remain attuned to the other person without taking on their discomfort. I'll keep repeating that, and we'll talk about strategies in the book and how to do that. This intimate level of connecting has its own incredible satisfaction and depth for those of you who love connection, you know, like myself. Connection is everything for me. Connecting to nature, connecting to the sky, connecting to a little turtle, connecting, like, you know, resonating with life, you know, basically, you know, that's connecting. On the other hand, compassion is when you feel for someone and go into action to help. It is more about sending loving kindness to a person who is suffering than experiencing what they feel. Well, you're sending loving kindness. And with compassion, you have a bit more distance, so you're less likely to absorb others' stress and become drained. On a biological level, compassion signals our hormones and brain chemistry to be of service. So when your friend gets fired, you might find specific ways to support them during this trying time. Your emphasis is on the other person as opposed to your own feelings and responses. Generally, compassion is associated with more ease, whereas untrained empathy can be depleting until you learn strategies to stay centered and enjoy this type of caring too. And empathy and compassion both play a role in healing. So compassion is a bit more action oriented. You know, if somebody is hungry and doesn't have food, you go to the market and bring them a, you know, a bag of food. Now that's compassion in action. Now empathy is more feeling what you're feeling and then activating compassion and going and getting them the bag of food. So they work hand in hand together, but people are these days are very interested in this distinction. I get asked this everywhere I go. A secret to tapping empathy's power is to use the wisdom of both your heart and mind to manifest greater healing. Now, I'm all about integration. Now, in my career as a psychiatrist and then coming out as an intuitive and then as an empath, what I do and what has been very important to me in my development is that I integrate all the wisdom schools that I learn from. You know, I integrate conventional medicine and technology and sometimes, you know, biochemical solutions such as medication. I value the subtle energy that comes from the body and the heart. So I integrate all the things I continue to learn. I'm a student of life. And I integrate the knowledge I get everywhere. I mean, I could get knowledge from, you know, the gas station attendant. He could say something very profound and funny to me. I'm like, all right, I'm going to integrate that too. So I'm an integrator. And I think that's why, you know, I've really gotten along basically with my colleagues, my medical colleagues, all these years that I've been doing this, because I don't feel like they have to agree with me. You know, which takes the pressure off of them. You know, I've never felt that anyone has to agree with me, you know, and I try and just respect their belief systems, even though I might not believe it. It's their belief system. So there's respect that creates respect. You see, and I think that's why I've been so successful, you know, with the medical community, is because I don't fight them. I just, if they're interested, I want to share some of this with them. But I don't fight, and I'm not a big fighter. I can stand up for myself. I don't let myself be a doormat, but I'm not a confronter. I'm not, that's not my style. You know, I'm more like, what do you believe in? And let me try and understand you. Not all relationships last forever. You know, I wish they would, you know, but not all of them do. And your heart has to know when it's had enough. If you're dealing with a narcissist or an abusive person, your heart has to know that. And if you still need to be with that abusive person, like one person has shared, the gray rock method that I talk about in the book is really helpful. It's where you become a gray rock. You're not this emotional, empathic, loving person trying to resolve everything. You're not that person. You're a gray rock. And if you've never been a gray rock, go out and find one and sit next to it and be a gray rock. That means you're grounded. You're strong. You're not reacting. You're not triggered. You're strong, steady, and can survive anything through the eons because you're there. And what the advantage is for that is that for narcissists, you're not feeding their supply, or borderlines, you're not, they want you to react because they feel like nothing inside. They feel fragmented and like glass is shattering inside. That's what you need to have empathy for. All right. Because I'm talking about borderlines now from the past conversation. That's what you have empathy for, but you're still a gray rock. You can have empathy for that. And you're a gray rock. You're not feeding their supply. It's called a supply. And when narcissists or borderlines don't get their supply fed, they become less interested in you. You know, they get kind of bored because you're not feeding them. Yeah. And yeah, we want that, right? You know, we want them to get bored so they can go on to somebody else. But you must master this technique of not responding emotionally to them. The minute you respond emotionally, they're sucking up your energy and they're, you know, taking on all of your good energy. And that's what they want. And so if you're a gray rock, you're not mean. You know, I just want to say you're not mean. You're just solid and you're not emotional necessarily. You're not doing the dance with them anymore, of trying to explain things to them and trying to cater to them and people please to them and listen to them. It's no longer about that. It's about being the gray rock and being consistent. You don't want to break, you know, if you, you know, you wanted to stay consistent as you can, being the gray rock. All right. So that's a technique to use. And then also meditate and pray. Meditation is part of my spiritual practice, and I meditate every night. And sometimes during the day, I go to my altar and at least, you know, make a bow and start the day with that energy. And so when there's nothing more you can do to help someone or they refuse help, remember to pray for their well-being and the best outcome to their problem. It's better to keep prayer general rather than specific. In instances where you can't heal yourself or others and you can't get rid of the pain right now, turn the problem into a creative offering to the forces of love and healing. Please help to heal me and do something for myself that I can't do for myself, you know, and ask for help. You know, as we were talking about someone about their ancestors, you know, allow them to work their magic. I often offer my adaptation of the Serenity Prayer. This prayer is part of my daily life. Grant me the serenity to accept the people or things I cannot change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. If you're working too hard to help someone, take a pause. Let the person be themselves without making it your mission to improve them. I wish you can all remember that.
You're listening to Like It Is, and that is Dr. Judith Orloff, author of The Genius of Empathy. Our thanks to East West Bookshop and to Dr. Orloff for allowing us to air some of the highlights from her recent talk at East West. Back to you, Bob.
Special thanks to Denny Luna for her segment on empathy. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.